I think that when you look at the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and what he brings to the table, combined with the fact that what he's been working with, DeAndre Hopkins, some would argue his best days may be behind him, but he's still a big-time receiver. Make no mistake about it. He's still somebody that you can rely upon. And if you have a reliable weapon to help you move the chains, and your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes, as opposed to Will Levis or somebody like that, you're in a pretty damn good situation if you're DeAndre Hopkins. So I look at it from that standpoint, and I say you look at his talent along with what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, along with the Chiefs having an elite defense with Andy Reid calling plays on offense. I think this definitely puts them over the hump.
Wow, we played a Stephen A. clip where he wasn't, like, screaming about something. That on the Hopkins trade that happened yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk some fantasy here with Scott Pianowski of Yahoo. One of our favorite conversations of the week here on a Thursday. Morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
Doing great. We got everybody in action. No buys this week, so yeah. You're rolling out a strong fantasy lineup.
Is that weird, by the way? No buys?
No, I actually...
After buys have happened?
I actually looked into it, and I checked in with the league, and I was told it completely random, and it actually happened one time during the season last year, during the middle of the season. So there were theories, Scott, that, you know, maybe it's because the NBA was starting up, and they didn't want to lose ratings to NBA during the week, but I looked into it, and I was told it was totally random.
Gotcha.
I've never understood why 32 teams, why shouldn't there be eight different bye week segments of four teams each? But there's sometimes you have two teams on bye. Sometimes you have four teams on bye.
Yeah.
Later in the season, there are weeks where we have six teams on bye. There are byes in week 14, which is a critical positional week for a lot of fantasy leagues. So I've never understood the rhyme and reason. Obviously, it's difficult to set a schedule. You have a lot of planes to land.
Yeah.
I do think someday they're going to have and they tried this once, I think 1990, 1991, and there were reasons why teams didn't like it. I think they're eventually going to go back to two bye weeks, and they'll try to tuck in one of those bye weeks to Thursday night appearances so that players don't have to have these very unusual short turnarounds, because I don't think that's conducive to the player health, to the quality of the product. Sometimes you see good Thursday games, sometimes you don't. A lot of times it's, you know, who's the matchup and all that stuff. But I think that's down the road. The problem is they don't want the season ending at some ungodly time. You know,
right.
It wasn't that long ago the Super Bowl was played in the middle of January, right? Now it's the middle of February, but I think a two bye week season, and, you know, I know nobody called in. Nobody listened in today to hear me talk about bye week.
No, I get it. I will just say, though, that would probably come with conjunction with an 18-game schedule, which I think is going to happen sooner rather than later.
Sure.
They're actually... Little shout out here to people at the University of Buffalo. There's a team over there that has created like the algorithms for that type of schedule, that they're at the forefront of it, that I've talked
to. They already have it.
Yeah. Like they've done things like that. So pretty cool stuff. Anyway, really interesting. And one other note on this, if the Jags had elected, they could have had their bye this week, because teams are allowed to choose if they want to have a bye after playing internationally. But most teams are going away from that model because they've done some analytic work on that, and it's not conducive for them. So here we are with all 32 teams playing this week, Scott.
Yeah,
If I were a team, I wouldn't want to buy early, right? I mean, injuries just pile up, and we saw it's been a brutal last couple of weeks. It's funny, before the season, right, the idea was, okay, draft those receivers early. They're more durable, or maybe not more durable, but they aren't in harm's way as much. They don't get hurt as much. Well, tell that to the Brandon Ayuk manager. Tell that to the Chris Godwin manager. Tell that to the Mike Evans manager. It just feels like, obviously Rashee Rice was one of the right answers. He got hurt a while ago. And I guess we can fold that into DeAndre Hopkins. I'm less bullish than the market is. I know it's Andy Reid. I know it's Patrick Mahomes. And every week we try out this stat. The last top 10 fantasy finish for Patrick Mahomes dates back to Thanksgiving of last year. And by the way, it's almost Halloween. We're talking like 11 months now.
And top 10, not like top 5, like top 3, top 10.
Exactly. For a guy who was drafted, in a lot of leagues, maybe the first quarterback, top 3 or top 4 everywhere. Until Lamar Jackson went off on Monday night, Mahomes was still the MVP favorite, which speaks to just the formula of the MVP. You got to have, the one or two seed. Kansas City's undefeated. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks get too much credit when they win, not, too much blame when they lose a lot of times. But still a wonderful player. But the pieces, Worthy's been a little bit of a disappointment. They had plans for Hollywood Brown. He was hurt before the season started. Rice was off and running as one of those right answers. He gets hurt. Kelsey is not the same player now, and maybe his final season. We saw last year they kind of soft-pedaled Kelsey and then turned him on in the playoffs. Maybe we'll see his production spike then, but he doesn't look like an electric player. Tight ends did make a nice comeback the last season. I finally can look at the tight end board and not want to throw up. But Kelsey's not one of the guys I'm excited to play, even though you have to give him a good ranking. If I had DeAndre Hopkins, I would go to my opponents. I would say, hey, I got pretty good wide receiver depth. Don't mention Hopkins by name. Just throw them the entire board. Doesn't matter if you want to trade them or not. And see if they'll land on Hopkins, because my expectations are muted.
I'm literally going to do this in like 15 minutes when we're done here. I have my one team with Hopkins. All that being said, while we're on the Chiefs, but Jeremy and Joe, Jeremy's off today, sales in. So Scott, like, is Mahomes a buy low right now? Like, should you be looking to trade for him? I've wondered if him being the MVP favorite isn't just, like, not that he would be the MVP if the season ended today, but if it's a bet by the books that the numbers are going to bounce back. He's not going to look like this. He's not going to put up more picks than touchdowns for the whole season.
That's part of it. Also, just the formula of the MVP, that if the Chiefs go 15-2, they're going to look for a reason to give it to Mahomes. And we know the MVP, I wish a million years ago they called it most outstanding player. So J.J. Watt could win it when he deserved it. Or Cooper Kupp, I think, was the best player in football 3 years ago. Another player, by the way, who could get traded. The Rams have made it known that he's available for a number two pick. And isn't it just fun? I mean, you guys obviously saw this with Cooper last week, that we're seeing trades in a league that people used to be afraid to make them, reluctant. You know, you have to dig up infrastructure. Can somebody get acclimated? I actually picked up Mahomes in my guillotine league for $5 just as a backup, and I'm still going to play Geno Smith over him. I thought, well, okay, I didn't like Matthew Stafford as my backup. I wouldn't mind having Mahomes, but he's as a number two, and I have no confidence playing him. To tell yourself a story that Mahomes is going to be fantasy playable again, you get to tell yourself a story that one of the receivers is going to come along for the ride. And I'm almost glad that I wasn't on the segment last week. I apologize for the late cancellation on that, because I would have told you, everybody, that Juju Smith-Schuster was in a great spot. I love what I saw in his first game back. And then, of course, he gets hurt early in that game last week against the Niners. And now he's already been ruled out so quickly. You get to figure he's going to miss multiple weeks. The Hopkins trade probably speaks to that too. But Mahomes' whole career, as great as he is, he's had a Tyreek Hill to drag him. He's had a Travis Kelce to drag him. Rice was turning into a superstar. I just don't see those players who are going to make him look good. He's just another guy. And, you know, you drafted Geno Smith as a backup. He's your number one. Until the Tampa Bay receivers got hurt, Baker Mayfield was the right guy to play over Patrick Mahomes. You might play Bo Nix over Mahomes this week because Carolina is that bad. And Nix is running so aggressively, I don't know how many touchdowns he'll throw, but he'll probably run for 70 yards. And it comes down to one very simple concept. Fantasy is about numbers. It's not about names. And at some point, you have to let go of what the name is. And I know if the NFL redrafted, Mahomes would probably go first. But they just don't have the pieces right now.
Well, how about the receivers that were traded last week? Scott Pienowski in the Western Hotline. Cooper here and Davante Adams in New York. How optimistic would you be about Cooper and his fantasy odds after what he did on Sunday? And even just to those two, like, who would you rank higher, I guess, rest of season, Adams or Cooper?
Yeah, I think it would be Cooper. You know, he has a productive game on very limited opportunity. They didn't expose him to a lot. At one point, he wasn't even sure where to line up. Like, oh, okay, you go over here, run down there. It's almost like a schoolyard game. But what really adds to my optimism for Cooper is that we've seen this story before, where he was traded from the Raiders to the Cowboys back in 2017-18, I forget what year it was, but Cooper was better with the Cowboys in the second part of the year. You love to see players rescued from a bad culture. Obviously, the Raiders are kind of going nowhere. There's a shipwreck in Cleveland. So Adams gets out of the Raiders situation, and Cooper gets away from Cleveland. And thank God we don't have to watch Deshaun Watson play anymore. I don't wish injury on anybody, but we will not miss just him on the field. And just that whole elephant in the room in Cleveland is ugly. But I think Cooper's a little bit safer because he's got more delineation between him and the other receivers in Buffalo, where Adams is going to have to share with Garrett Wilson, who I know he's been frustrating. And, you know, other than Terry McLaurin, all those younger Ohio State receivers have been fantasy losses right now, and it's been frustrating. And I don't know who's going to turn it around and who isn't. I think Garrett Wilson's probably the safest bet in that group, but I still rank Wilson a little bit higher than Adams. Adams is 32. Wilson's, what, 8-9 years younger, something like that. We can't discount that. So Adams, to me, high-end wide receiver 3. I think Cooper's a high-end wide receiver 2 who could creep into wide receiver 1 territory eventually. Hopefully, Buffalo will start throwing the ball more proactively. I mean, Josh Allen has a season high in pass attempts. It was only 33, right? We'd like to see a little bit more pass rate over expectation from Buffalo. But finally, a room that had a bunch of really good bass players. You need a lead guitarist. I think Amari Cooper could be that lead guitarist.
Scott, what do we do with the Buccaneers wide receivers here? I mean, how do we try and figure out who's going to be the guy to target on the waiver wire and how all this shakes out?
It's a great question. Well, first of all, Godwin was having a career year, and it was spurred by him going back to the slot. So we want to know, where do those slot reps come from? McMillan, Washington, part of that high-flying offense last year with Phoenix and Adunze and Polk and all those guys, has slot experience. He's flashed a little bit. He had a long touchdown on opening day. He didn't have a great game on Monday, but they'll have a week to coach him up. I would think he's the first player people probably look to on waivers. I support that. Sterling Shepard and Mayfield did play together in college. That can't be discounted. Trey Palmer is an interesting player. I don't have a pound-the-table recommendation. I think McMillan's probably the most likely to get slot snaps, so I would lean there. But again, maybe Mayfield and Shepard, the familiarity there comes to play. One thing I do feel very powerful about is that, you know, Cade Otton, 10 catches on Monday, he'd been coming into his own anyway. He's going to have a healthy share here. And also, Rashad White, who was dealing with touches from two other teammates, and we're worried about that. He's caught, 21 of 23 targets or something like that. He's a really good catch radius. Anything near him, he's going to catch. Irving's not a bad receiver either. But I think Rashad White's value benefits here. Otten's value benefits here. If I had to place a chip on the Tampa Bay receiver, it would be McMillan. But in deeper leagues, if you want to try Palmer, you want to try Shepard, I think that makes sense too.
How big an impact does the Cleveland offense get now that Watson's out and Winston is in?
It can't get any worse, right? Much we see when the Raiders receiver room got all beat up, it's like, okay, Brock Bowers, he's the number one guy. I feel similar about that in Cleveland, where Njoku, the number one target. Obviously, he just needs to be healthy. He was very good last week. And Cedric Tillman was better than Jerry Jeudy. I'm at the point where maybe just Jerry Jeudy can't play. I know he was a star at Alabama. I know he was a first-round pick. The Broncos were kind of tired of waiting for him to come around, and nothing's really gone his way in Cleveland. But I think Judy's part of the problem. I have Njoku, if healthy, top six, top seven tight end easily. And Cedric Tillman was somebody I was proactively going after on waivers. I just hope they let Jameis be Jameis. He's going to throw, and by the way, we don't even know past this week if he'll even be the starter. I mean, maybe Dorian Thompson-Robinson will get some play. He was the first guy they went to. I'd say Jameis as the emergency quarterback turned into an emergency situation last week. I think the offense is more interesting with Winston, and DTR did not play well at all last week, although you don't want to be too unfair about a mid-game appearance because the team wasn't prepared for it. But Winston makes this offense more interesting. I don't know exactly what happened to Watson, where he did a lot of sketchy things off the field. You know, people can have their opinions on that. I mean, he may not be a good dude, but it seemed like his confidence was beat out of him and his arm strength wasn't up to snuff. Just by having a competent quarterback, just think about what Carolina did for a minute with Andy Dalton. I realize that hasn't worked out for the last few weeks, and I've been picking Carolina in my picks pool every week and getting creamed for it. But just having a competent quarterback in the Cleveland room, all I want is this offense to give me 240 yards and a touchdown or two, and I'll divvy it up the way I want. They weren't getting anything close to that with Watson. I think they have a fighting chance with Winston.
Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline. In terms of tonight's game, Vikings at Rams, Kupp is going to play, but would you, or I guess that was the report, but would you feel comfortable putting him in a lineup? I don't know. With the trade rumors, I feel like I'd be scared that he's not going to have a full workload.
It's a great question. And normally in those situations, I err towards being conservative, the prove it game, the show me game. I was telling people not to play Nick Chubb last week. I know he had the touchdown, but he wasn't efficient otherwise. So I would, if you have a good receiver room, if you have a type of roster where it would be reasonable to bench Kupp and it's kind of a seam call for you, my default would be to not play him and see what happens, thinking they won't overexpose him. Also, the Rams aren't going anywhere this year, so it's not like they're in a situation where they have to win to, you know, get to first place or get to the playoff hunt. I think they know it's a lost season. And they probably, I get the idea, what they probably want to do is let Kupp play enough to show opposing teams that he's healthy, but not play him so much that there's the risk of aggravation or something going wrong. So there may be some teams you have to play him. Maybe you lost other pieces. Maybe you just don't have a good fit this week at receiver. But if you have something that's a reasonable alternative, anything on the borderline, I'm going to rest Kupp.
All right. In terms of the Viking side of things, the running back situation, Jones looks healthy now, right?
He does.
Okay. And then Hockenson's going to be coming back soon, so.
Maybe. And by the way, I would follow Kevin O'Connell to a burning building at this point. And Darnold has been consistent every week. He's also sneaky athletic. He can run for 20 to 40 yards if needed. Obviously, Jefferson is terrific. Addison's a pretty good number two. Naylor has had moments. Hockenson isn't really an electric player, but he's just another big body in the middle of the field, which makes you harder to defend. I thought Minnesota showed a lot of moxie. They could have easily won that game against Detroit last week. I'm looking forward to when they play again. But Kevin O'Connell, last year, remember, after Cousins got hurt, Justin Jefferson, when he came back, was just as good with the backups they were playing. You know, they were playing a lot of guys who weren't NFL starters, and they were just fine. And Sam Darnold was the number two pick in his class. He had a very unusual run out with getting sick. He got mono. He was hurt a lot. He kind of got the confidence beat out of him with the Jets. Then he bounced around as a backup. Still younger than Joe Burrow. I think it's entirely possible that Darnold, is he going to be a superstar? No, but he replaced Kirk Cousins. Could he have kind of a Kirk Cousins type of career? Ironically, Cousins hasn't really had a great fantasy season. He was quarterback 1 week, quarterback 8 1 week. He's been outside the top 20 in every other week. But I think Sam Darnold has proven he can be an NFL starter for the next 5-6 seasons.
Maybe the biggest variance this week could be the return of Tua and how that impacts the offense. Like, what do you see? Because I have Waddle on one of my teams. I just can't play him. Right?
I just actually, Scott, right before we talked, I just traded for Waddle.
I mean, like, so what happens here? How much does this matter, do you think, to what's going to happen going forward here with this offense?
That's a great question, Sal. I mean, this is basically an offense where they're unplugged without Tua, and now they're back plugged in. They had no chance with the guys they were playing, with Huntley. A lot of teams are screwed if the backups have to play, Miami especially so. I don't know how long Tua will be healthy. You shudder every time he gets hit. I'm sure Mike McDaniel is scripting a bunch of stuff where Tua's taking a very quick drop and getting rid of the ball. They don't want him holding it at all. But I mean, when from Tyreek Hill was you had to play him, but you didn't have expectations, you probably couldn't have played Waddle. Etienne hasn't been good in the entire offense, just totally no buoyancy at all. I got to figure that they're back. I love going to get Waddle. Not that he's not guaranteed anything. I mean, Waddle didn't have a great season last year, but the point is he's got plausible upside. You can easily tell yourself a story that if Tua stays healthy, Jalen Waddle could be a top 20 receiver. So I like getting him now before we get the reveal. And I don't like McDaniel's getting a lot of criticism right now because of how they've looked. But when you don't have a quarterback, there are no good plays to call.
Yep. Or even a good backup. I mean, Huntley had just arrived there, and Boyle still being in the NFL blows my mind if you look at his college stats.
Oh, he's good. What, one touchdown, 13 or 14 picks?
One touchdown, 13 picks at UConn, yeah. And, like, I don't even understand how he's in the league.
The quarterback factory that is UConn. I know, you know, maybe if Danny Hurley had coached him up, you know, something would have happened. But,
right.
I don't understand that at all.
Yep. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, Fantasy Football. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the time, and we'll chat next week.
Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Scott. Before we get to a break in a few minutes, we're going to have Mike Shope's going to be calling in a few minutes. He's got a trivia question for us he wants to get in. I'm excited about that. We were talking in the break a little bit, and we started to broach the subject, Sal, about the schedule and the way it could be impacted by division winners this year. And also, I've been looking at the league and heading into the trade deadline, like, who is about to blow it up? And I really think there are, if you read the tea leaves, connect a couple of dots, I think you're going to find a couple of teams that are about to blow it up. I think there's one team we know now that is not going to do that, and that's the Giants, because their owner is, like, out there. John Mara is talking, like, I'm not blowing this up.
Right.
So Shane
He's
and
given
Dable,
the vote of confidence, essentially.
Yes.
To both Shane and Dable, and even into the offseason next year.
That sounds to me like, guys, I know the quarterback is really bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to hold that against you. Jones is not good. And I'm not going to fire you because Jones is not good. That's how that reads to me. The teams I think are about to blow it up are Cleveland and LA. At least. I think the Rams, aren't the Rams thinking right now, Stafford's 37.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in cap jail forever. Our important players are getting old or have retired. Aaron Donald's gone. Right? We're trying so hard to put together whatever collection of players we can get with no money and no picks just to do what? Like, they've been fighting for 3 years now since they won the Super Bowl just to squeak in. They've not been a Super Bowl contender since they won the Super Bowl. And I wonder if they're thinking right now, We gotta close this window ourselves. We gotta say, Stafford, by the time we get it all together again and we're able to build like an elite group of players again, Stafford's not going to be with us anymore, or he's not going to be playing well anymore. So I wonder if they're going to trade Stafford. That's my big question about the Rams right now. And the Browns, I just don't know what else you do. Right? You're 1-6. You're held hostage right now by your quarterback contract, and you traded Cooper. Garrett's going to want a new deal. The whole thing is sinking fast. So I think Cleveland's just going to do it because they have no other choice.
So I agree with you about the Rams. It feels like that's what the mode they're in, which going into the season, they were like a big darling pick for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people really were high on the Rams. I get it. They had a lot of injuries. This is what happens, right?
Yep.
And now they're in a position. I never thought maybe their defense was quite good enough this year and just hasn't played that well. Trey White's now a healthy scratch, I think, right? He's been, at least he was a couple weeks ago. Anyway, let's look at the Bills' schedule for a second. They've gotten through what we all considered their tough six games to start the year.
Yeah.
And then they get the Titans at home and they beat them. And we all said, hey, if they go 4-2 in the first six, I think we'd all take that. What'd they do? 4-2. Then they beat the Titans. The Seahawks, obviously a tough game on the road. You know, you go to Seattle. The Dolphins were getting Tua back. Indy. You got Kansas City and you got San Francisco. But Joe, out of the final five games of the year, if the Rams are kind of mailing it in, you're getting the Rams in that mode. And then you're getting the Patriots twice.
Okay.
Now, you still have the Lions and the Jets in there, and the Jets could be in see-you-later mode
I said that when Howard was in for Howard Picks the Bills earlier this week, he got to that game, and I did say, if it goes off the rails, that might not be Rodgers.
I agree.
That game might
He's
not be Rodgers.
He's dealing with another injury this week. Oh, my God, I got a hamstring now.
Oh, if they have like five or six wins, even seven, by the time they get to that game, and he's dealing with 1,000 nagging injuries, couldn't you just see them shutting him down for the year?
Yeah, and how confident right now versus when the schedule came out are you in the Bills playing the Niners here on Sunday night, December 1st?
I mean, I'm more confident now.
Would it be way more?
Way more. Their whole offense is hurt.
And I mean, you don't know what they are at that time, but they're scrambling right now.
Well, I know Ayuk's not back.
But McCaffrey could be back.
McCaffrey could be, but man,
what is he?
I don't know. He's not practicing still. Like, maybe not. I don't know what their plan with McCaffrey is. I don't know if they know. Like, that's such a weird injury, and now it was both Achilles that he had tendonitis in. Like, it's just such a weird one. I feel like they are going to be so nervous to put him back in. Wouldn't you? Like, especially the way the season's going. That's another thing. If they feel like, you know what, Ayuk's out for the year, Debo can't stay healthy, he's in the hospital now with pneumonia, right? Kittle's banged up. I wonder if they say, this isn't our best shot, so I'm too nervous to put McCaffrey back on the field and have him pop an Achilles. That might be my approach. If they're 500... by the time McCaffrey, like, okay, he probably can play, I might still not do it. I would be so afraid he's going to tear his Achilles. Because if McCaffrey tears his Achilles at 30 years old, I might feel like it's all over. Maybe they give him the year. So by the time they play the Bills, with that type of thinking, I don't know that McCaffrey's back. Ayuk's definitely not. Debo and Kittle probably are still. Like, they still do have good weapons. Debo and Kittle... Pearsall is a first-round pick. Like, he's back on the field. Maybe he gives them a little something. And Jennings is pretty good. But they're not looking nearly as unbeatable as they
No, have, I agree. And look, Detroit obviously looks really, really good, right?
Detroit's
great. We know that. And
Detroit's
the Bills are going there in December. And they are going to L.A. It's a cross-country trip. It's, you know, it's the week after playing a Sunday night game here against the San Francisco 49ers. You have to be careful of that. But I'm just looking at the back end of the schedule now at everything we're talking about. And it does not look nearly like it might have when the schedule was revealed.
Yep.
And I've been saying since the schedule came out, boy, it might be a real benefit to get the Patriots two of those last three games because there might be an evaluation mode on their roster. And that's certainly not only what they feel like they might be, but they're also just bad.
They're very
really
bad.
Bad.
They're very bad. And I thought Drake May might make them really live. I think May looks good, but you see
they have nothing around him.
Did you see the London game last week?
Yes.
We were all watching the game together. First quarter, May looked great.
And I was watching it with you guys, and it was, oh my God, this guy's
like,
going to be good.
You guys left the booth to go do your thing. Jeremy went out the parking lot. You went to the field.
Yes.
And I don't think he did a single thing the rest of the game.
I agree.
But he doesn't have much help. Time out here. Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Sal is in. Mike Shope is going to call in with a trivia question. Instant trivia courtesy of Mike Shope coming up when we return here on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Give me what that guy's got. Does that dude ever run out of energy? Steve Ballmer, that's the Clippers owner, introducing his fans to his new insane arena that kind of looks like it's half the sphere in Vegas. It's like a screen that goes all around 360. NBA's back. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Sal is in. Time for instant trivia, but it's not courtesy of us. It's courtesy of Mike Shope, who is taking a break from setting the 19 fantasy lineups, I'm sure.
I thought maybe that was a clip from your event last night, Sal.
No, it could have got there, though. We're having a good time. It was great.
Well,
it wasn't my event, by the way. I was a part of it. I just want to make sure. By the way, and it was great to see a lot of people. Chris, you know, Bulldog was there, and Jeremy showed up. Tim Graham was there from The Athletic. Jonah Bronstein, raising money for American Cancer Society Breast Cancer Awareness. It was great.
Very good. I was home with my kids, celebrating my 20th anniversary with my wife on a work trip.
Congratulations.
Nice. Congrats.
I myself, with them and my Deep End podcast, is how I celebrated. She was called to another city. But anyway, so when Mike Evans on Monday night caught his touchdown pass to give him exactly 100 for his career, I immediately thought of Joe. Like, all right, well, this is one that when we work together, we would play with. Either that's like, who are the guys ahead of him?
Yeah.
Or just what? So I sort of went digging, and I came up with a trivia question that seems like it's your speed.
Okay.
And I happened to find one particular gem in the answer or answers that I hope really impresses you and maybe even amazes you.
Okay. That's going to be the... Now I'm going to spend the whole time thinking of who the gem is, though. That's okay.
I'll get the list. I've gone back and forth on how to present this, but it's out in the open now. There is one particular answer to this question that I think is really funny, or, you know, interesting.
Okay.
All right, so we want the 20 active players that have caught at least 40 touchdown passes in the league. This does not touchdowns. Include players that have not officially retired, like Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
Because he is not on a team this year.
So on a team.
These are only players that have played this season.
Okay. So like Michael Thomas doesn't qualify, for instance.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
40.
20 players active in the league that have caught 40 touchdowns.
That's right.
And Evans is one of them.
All right, I'm not going to...
Or 20 other.
I'm not going to cheat by looking at the answer. We could probably do that. I am going to look at the teams, though, so I can at least get a thought, just so everybody knows. I have that open in front of me, like just like the NFL teams, so I can kind of go through each, right? Okay.
Please, I got up so early. Please don't go look at a list of players who have caught 40 touchdowns.
No, I'm not doing that. But I will take a look at teams. Like, for example, I look at Buffalo and I say, all right, Stephon Diggs, even though he's in Houston, I'm thinking of him right now, so he's going to be on this list.
Diggs is one of two players to have ever played for the Bills who is on this list. He has 70. Evans is first with 100, and he is included in the 20.
Is Amari Cooper the other one?
Yes, 63.
All right. Great. We got the two Bills out of the way. Tyreek Hill.
77.
Okay. Keenan Allen.
61.
That's Devontae Adams.
96, second.
I'm going through the division right now, Joe. I think that's it for that.
Did you say what? Did you say wide receivers or is any player?
Any player.
Okay.
Of the top 20, five are tight ends.
All right, Kelsey.
74.
Okay. I thought I'd been more than that. 74.
I don't think Chase got there yet, right? He hasn't played long enough.
No, I don't think so.
He wouldn't get there.
He would need
Cincy.
He would need like 10 per season.
Right.
No.
I don't think so. Cleveland, Houston, Indy.
How about Adam Thielen?
Correct. 60.
I'm trying to think of old guys first.
I've been picking
stars.
Up Adam Thielen in case he gets traded to a good team.
That's a great idea. Yep. I think Chiefs for him.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins, 79. Third.
Okay.
So you have the top eight. Well,
nice.
Thielen is tied for ninth, so you have the top nine,
all right.
I guess.
All right, we're off to a good start then, I think. How about... You got a name?
I'm thinking... I'm going to go to the other conference. I'm thinking, do you think A.J. Brown's on this list?
45.
Yeah.
Okay.
A.J. Brown. See, that I like that we have that, though, because A.J. Brown at 45, now I'm going to want to compare everybody to A.J. Brown. That's
right.
Almost the baseline.
Right.
I might have thought him higher. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, like, C.D. hasn't been around long enough.
See, like, now I don't think I'm...
I don't think
I don't think I'm guessing Metcalf now.
DK?
I don't think
he's
would
been
not
around
bet.
A while,
I don't. Same as Brown. I wouldn't bet he has more
true.
Than Brown. Well, how about Lockett?
60.
Okay.
So he's on the list.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
60 for Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, for sure.
Not like someone you would. Well, actually, you wouldn't think of him as a touchdown guy just because he's small. I feel like he normally would. He would have like 8, 9, 10 touchdown seasons, I think.
Yeah, he must.
Joe, is there anybody on the Niners?
He said four tight ends. We only have one of them. Kittle.
So Kittle. What? What?
Do we wanna? Let's think. Four tight ends. Andrews is one of them.
Mark Andrews.
43.
Oh, that was close.
There are five tight ends.
Oh. Mercedes Lewis.
Damn.
Is that okay. The gem?
Mercedes Lewis is right with 40.
Wow.
Well, that's it. He's played 50 years.
I was hoping you wouldn't say him because get ready.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I hope you find this amazing. I do. Mercedes Lewis, I'm sure, is the only player to have caught touchdown passes from both Justin Fields and Trent Edwards.
Wow.
I mean...
That would be possible?
I think... I got one for you along the same lines. Amari Cooper is the only player to catch passes from EJ Manuel and Josh Allen.
Okay, that's good.
We're doing the Kevin
wow.
Bacon degrees of separation.
How
here.
Did Lewis only right. is 40? When did he debut? 2002?
He caught a pass in London for Chicago this year
to get
to qualify
for
him for this.
Wow.
And maybe the most fun stat head little area
mm-hmm.
for me right now is touch like how you got your touchdowns. If you're a receiver, who threw them? If you're a quarterback, who caught them?
Yeah.
And yeah, like you can take Trent Edwards back, you've got Terrell Owens, and then you can take him farther back and just sort of leapfrog through the years, you know, connecting quarterbacks.
Steve Young.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a couple names here. One is a tight end because you said Andrews. I have both these guys on my fantasy team. I think Zach Ertz should be on this list.
47.
Okay. All right, well there's our tight ends.
No, we have four. We have
one more.
And then, but I'm going to give you a non-tight end. Cooper Kupp.
52.
Should we just go with Kittle?
He's been wrong yet.
Kittle is probably the other name. I feel like I'm nervous to guess him for some reason.
Why?
He's hurt a lot.
Other tight end would it be, though?
And he...
What other tight end could be on this list?
I've had him in fantasy. Like, it's just... It's so up and down. I'm trying to think of, like, big touchdown seasons. I feel like he always has five.
Misperception on Kittle. Like his last, including this year,
yeah.
Over the last four seasons, he's missed maybe four games.
Okay.
So I think that he's
All right, you want
helping
to go
us
Kittle?
Get there?
Let's go to Kittle.
We'll go to George Kittle.
42.
Yes.
It's close.
We have our tight ends.
All right.
Close counts here.
You guys only need four more.
Wow.
There's not going to be
more players total.
There's not going to be a running back on here, right?
Probably. I don't think so, but has someone played that long?
Eckler, maybe.
Ooh, I don't know. That's a tough ask.
Yeah.
That's a really tough
I'll leave running
ask.
Back at the side here.
Mike Williams hasn't done it, right? Has he?
40 for Mike Williams. I like it. Mike Williams.
31.
Oh! We missed on one.
That was our miss.
A couple guys who are close. Robert Woods at 38.
Wow. Houston.
Close.
Yeah. No yeah. Kidding.
Chris Godwin at 39. Michael Thomas didn't even get to 40. He's at 36. Chase and Jefferson are at 35. Lamb at 34.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we ask, is there another non-wide receiver on the list besides tight ends?
No.
Okay.
What about Cortland Sutton?
No.
All right. He said earlier he wouldn't do it. I'm going to do it. DK Metcalf.
Metcalf is right. 45.
Oh, same 40, number.
Yeah, 45, same number as A.J. Brown.
Same okay. number as A.J. Brown. Okay.
The guys you have left?
I know.
Go ahead.
Brandon Cooks.
58.
Yeah.
Love that.
Brandon Cooks.
Good for you.
Okay. How many left are there?
Two.
Two?
I think two.
You were going to say something. Guys, you have left. What?
Yeah.
You want a hint?
I'm trying to decide if I do want a hint.
Here's a hint. I like it. They both played for the Rams, but neither is best remembered for playing for the Rams.
Oh, Beckham.
59.
Who I don't think he hasn't caught a pass this year, but he got into a game with Miami last week.
He played. He got three targets for Miami.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the other guy was a Ram, but isn't remembered as a Ram.
Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson, 43.
That's wow.
It. He's on the Giants? Maybe? Right now? Where is he?
Maybe. I know he's in the league. He's also got a podcast.
He was on the Giants in camp. I thought I remembered him. Oh, he's on the Lions.
Don't know how I pulled that one from Allen Robinson. I'm trying to think of guys, but he had a couple really nice years, obviously, that put up some decent numbers.
He had a 14 touchdown season.
There you go. Yeah, I was actually thinking Jalen Waddle, but I thought he hasn't been in the league long enough. But where is he right now? Because he's had a couple of really nice years.
Touchdowns, though, I don't think he's.
Okay.
Waddle?
Yeah.
I just traded 20s. Waddle. Like 30 minutes ago.
I don't have him as having as many as 26.
Okay.
He had fewer than 26.
He has 18, actually, only. Wow, okay. That would have been a real big miss.
Shakir in a first for Waddle. How do you like it?
Oof.
No, not
no?
the first.
Sorry, I got Jalen Warren, too, if that matters.
I like the Waddle side.
That's the side
good.
I got. That's the side I got.
Oh, you're talking about fantasy here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I made this trade in the last hour. I already had Cooper. Now they're on the same team, so I traded Shakir in a first for Waddle, and I got Warren, too.
You're as busy at your job as ever.
Yes. It takes 30 seconds during the break. Like, you know what?
Who am I to say that?
What am I going to do during the break? Let me just trade for Jalen Waddle here.
Yeah. Who am I to say that? I've executed entire drafts during a commercial break. I'm not the one to criticize you for that.
Yeah. All right, good. I like it. Baseball trivia tomorrow?
Who's calling whom? My show or yours?
I can. You can call my show again and call your show. I don't think I could put together baseball trivia.
This is so early. No, we'll take some time apart.
9:45.
Oh my God, Joe.
Jeez. I'm
up just kidding.
5 hours.
Right. I'm up at 6 to get the kids off the off to school. So.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, 6 o'clock hour then tomorrow. Perfect.
we'll see.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
All right, 3 o'clock today for Shope and Bulldog. I couldn't put baseball trivia together unless it's about. Right now, I could do baseball trivia about the 04 Red Sox because I'm watching that documentary on Netflix, and I could do it about the 04 Blue Jays because I had the video game then, and I know that whole team just because I played them in the video game. Orlando Hudson. That's the only guy I could do. All right, time out here. When we come back, Extendo Sports. We'll do our Thursday night three-leg parlay to get you ready for Rams and Vikings tonight. Stay tuned.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. You know what that music means? It's Thursday. Vikings, Rams tonight. Let's put together our... There's another football game, too, we got to touch on. Let's get our three-leg Thursday night parlay in for tonight. Who wants to go first? Anybody?
I mean, give me something. What do we got?
All right, I'm going to go first. I'm going to go Cooper Kupp under 66.5 receiving yards.
Under?
I'm with Scott Pianowski. I don't think he's going to get a full workload.
No, I agree with that. I would look at that totally.
Did you see what the Titans did with Hopkins against the Bills? Game got away from them in the second half. None of the starters came out except Hopkins.
Because he was completely checked out from what people told me they saw on the TV broadcast.
Yeah. Well, doesn't everyone know he was about to get traded? Yeah. I think the Rams, if they're shopping Kupp, which is the report, why are they going to expose him to all this work and he gets injured a lot?
Yep.
I'm going under. What do you got, Josh?
I'm going to go with Aaron Jones over rushing yards, 67.5. I mean, just looking at his stats this season, I feel like he's going to hit this.
All right.
I don't know why. I just have a really good feeling. I was really skeptical about Aaron Jones coming into the season. I didn't think he was going to have much, but he's looked pretty good so far, and I think he's going to keep it going here.
What are the passing yardage totals for Stafford?
Passing yardage for Stafford, we're looking at 242.5. Same number for Darnold.
They may have to throw the ball because they're down.
I agree with that.
So
they're going to get down. You want to go over on Stafford?
I think so, yeah.
All right. I like it. Sorry, Josh. What was yours again?
Aaron Jones.
I'm just putting this in here. So we got three. Okay. Plus 653. It's a nice number. 10 to win 65. Other game tonight.
Yeah, real quickly. How about taking my Syracuse Orange plus 5.5 against Pitt tonight? This is a big game in the ACC. Syracuse is having a really nice year.
Yeah.
They're 5-1 overall, 2-1 in the ACC, but Pitt is undefeated. 6-0 overall, 2-0 in the ACC. You beat Pitt tonight, you both go to 3-1, and you leapfrog them, and you are in great position for not only a bowl game, but, I don't know, can we start to talk about getting a look at the last few games in the ACC and where you might fall here for a playoff?
You're getting yourself in position to be an upset away from the ACC championship still, right?
Yeah. So this is a big game, and Syracuse coming off a bye. They've had 2 weeks.
I'll be rooting for Syracuse. Get me to that final game against Miami.
Yes.
With it being meaningful.
Clemson still also 5-0 in the conference, though. Miami 3-0, SMU 3-0, Pitt 2-0, Syracuse 2-1.
SMU. No. Get out of here, SMU.
That game's at 7:30 p.m. tonight, by the way.
7:30. Stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the way. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your calls. Josh and Zach are on the way after this on WGR.